Our subject today is, what is it to seek the Lord? What does it mean to seek the Lord? Now in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, the scripture says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity." And then another passage of scripture taken from Isaiah 55, verse 6 declares, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Now, is this not true, that what people really want, what they really want, they will diligently seek? Is that not true? For example, if a person really wants wealth, if he really wants an education, if he really wants a political office, then he'll seek that thing diligently. He'll give his time, he'll give his effort, he'll give study to accomplishing that goal, if he really wants it. And then secondly, if a person wants health, good health, and this seems to be something that people are taken up with a great deal right now, they want good health, and they seek it. They go to the doctor on a regular basis and get a checkup. They read books about good health. They diet, and then they take exercise and all of these things, trying to get good health, a healthy body. That is, if they really want it. And if a person wants the love and companionship of another person, for example, a young man wishes to marry a young lady, well, he'll pursue that person. He'll pursue that person until he's won her favor. He'll send candy, he'll send flowers, he'll go by to see her. In other words, he'll seek her hand in marriage. What I'm saying is this: what we truly want in this world, we go after it. We go after it with all our hearts and with all our strength and with all our effort if we really want it. And this is true also in the spiritual realm. I'm saying that if a person really desires to know the living God, really desires to know the true and living God in true faith, if a person really wants to know God, the living God, and desires to enjoy His presence, and desires His mercy and His grace, the riches of His love, if a person really desires to find the favor of God, the fellowship of God, and forgiveness of sins, then that person will seek the Lord. Just like in any other area of life, if you want something badly enough, you'll go after it. You'll give your time and your effort to attaining that goal. And I'm saying it's true in this matter of knowing God. If a person really wants to know God, just as he seeks other things, he'll seek the Lord. I've had people come to hear me on Sunday morning, and at the end of the service, they'll manifest some interest. They'll say, "Now, boy, that was a good message. I really got a blessing out of that, and I'm troubled about my soul. I really want to know God." And I say, "Well, I hope that you'll come again." Well, Sunday night, they're not there. Wednesday night, they're not there. The next Sunday, they're not there. Does that person really want to know God? You say, "No, preacher. If he went about other things that way, he'd never attain any goal." That's exactly right. If you want something badly enough, you give your time and your effort and your strength to finding that thing. For like the woman with the issue of blood. You remember in the Bible, the woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years? This woman was sick for 12 long years. And she'd wasted everything she had on false physicians. She'd gone to this quack and that quack and some other quack doctor, and none of them were able to help her. And finally she heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. And even in her sickly, weakened, frail, dying condition, She came crawling to him on her hands and knees. She pushed her way through the crowd because she said, if I can but touch his clothes, I'll be made whole. She wanted Christ and healing more than anything in this world. Look at blind Bartimaeus. When our Lord Jesus Christ walked out of the city of Jericho and he asked, what's the commotion? Someone said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He began to cry. This man is blind, sitting in darkness and poverty, destitute. And the only one who can help him is the Son of God. And he began to cry, Jesus, thy Son of David, have mercy upon me. And people told him to be quiet. They said, he has no time for you. He's not interested in you. Just be quiet. He cried out the more. He would not be denied. He must have Christ. You see what I'm saying? The Ethiopian eunuch. This man, this wealthy man in Ethiopia, he was in charge of the queen's entire treasury. But he wanted to know God. And he took a chariot. This is not in the days of airplanes and automobiles. He took a chariot and rode all the way across the desert to get to Jerusalem to find out something about God. Well, he found nothing out there. He discovered nothing. He learned nothing. And on his way back to Ethiopia, he was reading the Word of God, reading the book of Isaiah. And God sent him a preacher. I tell you, a difficult journey, but a determined man. There's the key. And then Cornelius, Lydia, the thief on the cross, the woman who washed his feet. I could just keep giving you illustrations of people who must have mercy, who must have the grace of God. And they sought him till they found him. Did not our Lord say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. He said, you seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, and I'll be found of you when you search for me with all your heart. And I'll turn away your captivity. I'll make you whole. Now I'm going to ask two, maybe three questions in my message today on this subject. What is it to seek the Lord? Here's the first question. What is it to seek the Lord? What is it to seek the Lord? When the Scriptures say unto us, seek the Lord, what is it to seek the Lord? What prompts a person to actually seek the Lord? What prompts a man? What's involved in this seeking of the Lord? What's involved? Well, I'll tell you four things. I'm as confident of this, and I'm going to give it to you in the very plainest terms, plain language that any of you can understand. What is it to seek the Lord? Number one, it begins right here. To seek the Lord is to discover that by nature and birth and human wisdom, I do not know the Lord. That's where a man starts. I do not know the Lord, and I do not have the Lord. You see, a man doesn't seek what he already has. That'd be foolish, wouldn't it? A man seeks what he wants, what he needs, what he desires, what he does not have. And I'm saying where this whole thing, this seeking the Lord, where it begins and where it has to begin is to discover that I do not have the Lord. I do not know the Lord. I discovered one day by the Word of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit and the preaching of the gospel that I did not know the Lord. You say, I thought you was raised religious. I was, but I didn't know the Lord. I had a God, a false God. I had religion. I'd made a profession of faith. I'd gone to preacher school. I'd pastored a church 3 years before I ever heard the gospel, before I ever knew the living God. Oh, I had a God, just like the majority of religious people today have a God. Have a form, have a tradition, have a doctrine, have a God, have a denomination. But I didn't know the living God. You see, the Word of God tells us your sins have separated you and your God. When Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, all men died in Adam. They died spiritually. They were separated from God. Our sin separated us from God. And no man by nature knows God. That's what the scripture says. No man knoweth the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. No man has seen God at any time. No, sir. You see, God, the invisible God, dwells in a light to which no man can approach. And this is where, if you begin here, this is where you must begin. Just put your religion at the door. Put your traditions at the door. Put all these things, leave them at the door. And come knowing that by nature we do not know God. By nature, by birth, we do not have God. Our sins have separated us from God. God is infinitely high and holy, immaculately holy, and we're sinful creatures. And that sin is the great gulf between us and God, Almighty God. We do not know God. He must be revealed to us. All right, secondly, what is it to seek the Lord? It's the first of all, establish this, face this, we do not by nature know God. Canst thou by searching find God? Why, it's higher than the heavens. What can you know? It's deeper than hell. What can you know? Broader than the sea, he said. All right, secondly, what is it to seek the Lord? It is to really desire. I mean really desire, sincerely, to know him. To know the living God. To be satisfied with nothing short of fellowship with God Almighty. Now that's got to be established. We're not just seeking religion. We're not just seeking an experience. We're not just seeking an emotional feeling. We're not just seeking the approval of the crowd or the preacher or our family or people. We want to know God. This is what the Apostle Paul said, "Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Oh, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection." I'm not seeking the benefits. I want the benefactor. I'm not seeking the gifts. That's not what I want. I want the giver. I'm not seeking the kingdom of God. I'm seeking the King Himself. And if I have the King Himself, then I'm in the kingdom of God. Like David said, "As the thirsty deer panteth for the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, the true and living God." And our Lord in that great high priestly prayer said, "This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." My friends, salvation and eternal life is not having the right doctrine. A man can be doctrinally sound and dead. It's not having the right morality. The Pharisees were experts in this regard. It's not just having the right ceremony on the right day, nor the right church. Salvation is in a right relationship with the Lord God in Christ Jesus, our Redeemer. Now, this is the truth. What is it to seek the Lord? Well, it's to start out right, to discover that by nature, by birth, by sin, I don't know the Lord. I don't know God. It's like the blind man to whom the Lord had given his sight. He said, "Well, who is he that I might believe on him? Who is he?" Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus said, "Who art thou, Lord? Who are you?" It's to admit I don't by nature know him, and then it's to really desire to know him. I must have Christ. I must know him. "Lord, I'll never be satisfied till you reveal yourself. Like Jacob of old, I will not let you go till you bless me with the knowledge of yourself." That's true, my friend. And thirdly, what is it to seek the Lord? Now watch this carefully. What is it to seek the Lord? Thirdly, it is to be willing. To be willing. Now that's such a big word, willing. To be willing. "If you be willing," he said, "you'll eat the fat of the land. Thy people shall be willing in the day of his power." To seek the Lord is to be willing to seek him and be accepted on his terms. Now come on his terms. I hear these preachers and religious people dictating the terms. And I'm telling you this, God owes us nothing. but judgment and wrath. Now that's just so. God owes us nothing but judgment and wrath. The wages of sin is death, and we've fully earned it. But he doesn't owe us mercy. You see, if he owed it, it wouldn't be mercy. God's not obligated to the creature. God doesn't need the creature. He said, if I needed anything, I wouldn't ask you. We have sinned. We have challenged God's right to reign. We did it in the Garden of Eden, and we did it again at Calvary's cross. We rejected his sovereignty and his son. Our hands are dripping with the blood of God Almighty, whom we crucify. And we're in trouble. And if I come to God, I've got to come on his terms. I know churches and preachers all over this world are establishing their own terms, but that's not to be. We come on God's terms, and to truly seek the Lord is to be willing to seek him on his terms, to come to him on his terms, to be accepted on his terms. And what are his terms? Well, they're repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. Those are God's terms. Paul said that in Acts 20 when he summed up his ministry. He said, I've gone everywhere preaching repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. What is repentance toward God? Well, repentance toward God has to do with the heart, not so much the hand. Repentance is not taking on a sour expression or folding your hands piously or walking like a sissy or something like that. That's not real repentance. Trying to act religious and talk religious, that's not repentance. Repentance has to do with the heart, the attitude more than the actions, and the thoughts. God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. And here's the language of repentance. I am a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. I have no righteousness. I have no goodness in my flesh. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. God is holy and God is just to condemn me. David established that in his prayer of repentance in Psalm 51. He said, I've sinned against thee. My sins are ever before me. You're just and holy to condemn me, and you're just to damn me. And if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, who would stand? But there's forgiveness with thee. And in my hands, no price I bring. Come on down, sinner. To seek the Lord is to be willing to seek him and be accepted of him on his terms. And his terms are genuine repentance. Christ said, except ye repent, you'll perish. In my hands, no price I bring. And then faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this saving faith is a heart work also. It has to do with seeing in Christ. You notice Paul said repentance toward God, against God. And faith is toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And this faith sees in Christ all that God is, all that God requires, and all that redemption demands. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were born under the law, that we might receive the righteousness of God in him. Christ has suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. God has set him forth a propitiation, a mercy seat, a covering for sin, that he might be just and justified. In Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we're complete in him. He of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Yes, faith leaves all my tradition at the door and looks to Christ. Yes, faith leaves all my righteousness at the door and embraces the righteousness of Christ. Yes, faith leaves all my thoughts. Oh, I thought. I know, we do a lot of that. But our thoughts are not his thoughts. And true repentance leaves our thoughts at the door and embraces Christ as our wisdom. My ways, my thoughts, comes to God only in Christ. is a great old hymn. I don't remember the author, but it expresses this business of repentance and faith, God's terms. God's terms, and they don't change. They're the same. Repentance toward God, genuine heart repentance, genuine change of attitude and mind and thoughts, a genuine humility in the dust before the throne of a holy God. Lord, do with me what you will. Here, listen to it. The hymn writer said, I'll go to Jesus, though my sins hath like a mountain rose, and I'll know his courts, I'll enter in, whatever may oppose. And prostrate I'll lie before his throne, and there my guilt confess. I'll tell him. He knows it already, but I'll tell him I found it out. I'm a wretch undone without his sovereign grace. I can but perish if I go, but I'm resolved to try. For if I stay away, I must forever die. You have been lost. I don't think a man can be found who's never been lost. Have you ever been a sinner? Christ died for sinners. You wouldn't be one of those ungodly people for whom Christ died, would you? Well, I'll tell you this, to seek the Lord is to seek him on his terms. And his terms have ever been and are now and ever will be repentance toward God and faith toward Jesus Christ. Never a proud sinner ever entered the kingdom of God, because God always humbles him. That's just so. I don't care if he's a preacher, a deacon, elder, what he is. God always breaks the proud sinner, and he breaks the proud ass's coat, and he puts a saddle on him, and the king rides him without even a bridle. That's right. All right, fourthly, what is it to seek the Lord? Well, it's to know we need him. It's to desire him above all things. It's to come on his terms. And fourthly, it's to be willing to part with all that stands between me and full fellowship with him. Now, a lot of folks run into a lot of problems here. To really seek the Lord is to be willing to part with anything, anyone, any job, any vocation, any circle, any tradition that stands between me and full fellowship with him. I'm telling you the truth now. Listen to what he said. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that putteth his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. If any man draw back, my soul has no pleasure in him. These are clear declarations from the lips of the Son of God. In other words, what I'm saying is this, and not what I'm saying, it's what God Almighty has always said. Christ Jesus will be Lord of all, or he will not be Lord at all. And to know Christ is not to have a religion on the side. That's what I'm troubled about my generation. They seem to have the idea that religion is a sideline. It's kind of something you take care of on Sunday, or you take care of on special holy holidays, or something you let your preacher, your church, you pay them to take care of it for you. You don't ever mix your religion with your social life or your political life, they tell me. Hold on here now. Wait just a minute. Salvation, now that may be religion, but that's not to know God. To know God is to walk with God. To know God is to love him and his word. To know God is to be identified 100% with his gospel and with his people. Abraham believed God, and he had to leave home. He had to come out of idolatry. He had to leave his circle of friends. Abraham believed God and sojourned on this earth looking for a city. Never did own a piece of land. Abraham believed God and withheld not his only son when God demanded that he sacrifice him. Abraham believed God's word that he was able to do all that he promised, and it was imputed to him for righteousness because he believed God. He didn't talk like it, he did. He didn't profess it, he did. And this was not written for Abraham's sake alone, but for ours also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on the Son of God. What is it to seek the Lord? Well, it's to discover that by nature and birth and by religious tradition, I do not know Him. Never have. And secondly, it's to really want to know Him. Him. Not a doctrine to argue, but to know Him. It's to seek Him on His terms, and it's to be made willing by the Spirit of God to turn from my idols, whatever they may be, to serve the living God. Now, here's the second and final question. How do true seekers seek the Lord? How do they seek Him? That's what it is to seek Him. Now, how do they? Well, the Scripture says they seek Him. They seek Him. You'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And then they seek Him sincerely, with all your heart. Not with a divided heart, with all your heart. And they seek Him continually. That's what the Scripture says in 1 Chronicles 16. They seek His face continually. And then they seek Him in His Word. They seek Him in His Word. To the law, to the prophets. Should not a people seek their God if they speak not according to the Word of God? Because there's no light in them. Don't seek God in the clouds. Don't seek God in a feeling, seek God in the Word. That's where He's revealed. And they seek Him while He may be found. That's now. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. And then last, they seek Him with a single purpose. One thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Title of the message, what is it to seek God? I have another message on that same tape I'll be bringing next Lord's Day. Until then, may God bless you, everyone.